it's gotten nippy.
So gradual.
So gradual, yeah, that's the thing that makes it manageable, right? Summer, winter. What should we look at besides the weather this evening? Although we, you know, I'm always interested in discussing the weather, yes.
I had this neat experience happen with emo class.
Ah.
So I actually just wrote about it, but I want to talk about it too, because it just felt so helpful. So in response to recent events, I had written a statement, just a reflection on what was going on for me.
Uh-huh.
And the intention was to send it out to some folks. And I noticed that I wasn't sending it out. And so the email assignment to look at what sort of what goes on with us when we want to communicate seemed a perfect opportunity. So I recorded about that, recorded everything that I was seeing about that, and all the information about how, you know, it wasn't appropriate and who cares and who do you think you are, and on the one hand, you know, and I mean, sort of. It was all self-hate. I mean, it was all. But I hadn't really heard it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so I went through this whole thing, and then partway through, what I came up was, there's no reason not to send this. And then I listened. And what I saw was that in the course of speaking about it, I got that stuff was not relevant to the question, and then as I was sending an email class about it, what I got was all of the stuff that was stopping me was aimed at my head, and that wasn't where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. It was so clear. It was so helpful to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, partway through as I was listening, I thought, but what all these voices are saying isn't addressing what gave rise to that.
Uh-huh.
But I hadn't gotten how removed that was until I heard it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a suspicion, I'm suspecting, that that's often the case.
Oh yeah, I said these are very familiar things.
Yeah, that it seems, if we're not paying close attention, that the two are related.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
That's going on.
Right.
And we're so used to that going on, and so used to assuming that it's relevant to something,
yeah,
that we just automatically put the two together.
Yeah, and what I was seeing was that what was being presented was reasons, and what had happened was an impulse to act, and it didn't have anything to do with reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was speaking a different language.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reasons were pretty bogus. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, these are not... You know, if you're in your what are those classes called? Like logic and that sort of thing.
Okay.
They wouldn't fly.
Mm-hmm. But even that they were reasons.
It's like you're an idiot.
Yes.
You know, it's just
but even that they were reasons to
yes.
fly. That's what I saw too.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And I saw that until I focused on them, I didn't identify them. I didn't mm-hmm. speak their language.
Yes. And that's the power of recording and listening, isn't
it? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because we've got to get it out of here.
Mm-hmm.
She's pointing to her head. And writing it down is not the same. There are just too many steps between what goes mm-hmm. on inside the head and getting it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Worse yet, typing it.
Mm-hmm. And I really got how, I mean, in the course of speaking, I began to see it. But in the course of listening, I really heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, I must have been in the email class, talking with people about reflecting. And that one of the things that's so powerful for us in being reflected, like in a situation like that, is that we're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
We're
yes.
just... Blah, 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 blah. And so automatically assuming... that whatever is being said, I'm saying, and it must be so, and it's what I think, and
mm-hmm.
all that. And then having that chance to listen to it and go,
Yeah.
Wow.
Two other things I saw, I'm seeing as you're saying that, is the kinds of things that were being said were so familiar,
yeah,
that they didn't have to be spoken. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just. It was just such a familiar message. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, there were kinds of things I would never say to another person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can imagine when somebody wants to express something, saying to them, who do you think you are?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares what you have to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kai.
So I've been at the monastery now for almost a month.
An eternity?
Yeah. On the calendar. And so I'm leaving tomorrow, and today I noticed my body start to behave differently. And my movements got twitchier, and I started to... it was a lot of things. It was the way I put on my shoes when I was coming in and out of places. It was the way I was closing doors. I would bang my hand on things. Mm-hmm. And my eating has changed. I'm more wolfing down food now. And I've got this twitchy sort of... my body is readying for threat.
Mm.
I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, it was nice to at least be able to notice it, because I think I've spent years just being this way. So now I have, you know, some, you know, contrast. But I've tried to remind myself that, you know, control is an illusion, and there's worrying doesn't help, and, you know, things like this. But, I'm looking for, you know, some guidance. But how to manage this?
Yeah, you know, if I had that information, I'd be a wealthy woman, because I'd write it down and sell it. sadly, I don't know that there is a way to manage it. We can observe it. You know, we can notice it and. Bring awareness to the process. Do what you're continue to do what you're doing now, which is to step back from it. So as you said, there was a time in your life when it was just you. Now you see it as a process, as a something that's different from other times, and so continuing, as far as I can tell, continuing that disidentification is the best thing we've got going. Because what we realize increasingly is that whatever that is not, in quotes, me. Because you're watching it. And even though, you know, it's my body, which feels about as close to me as it gets, still there's an awareness that you're the observer of this thing that's happening with your physical being. And that, and I don't mean that, you know, like you're going to ditch it or, you know, that it's not important or anything like that. It's just the realization that it's not you. And therefore, you can be in a place of supporting it that is not available to us when we are identified by a conditioned mind with the body, such that whatever is going on with it is you. Mm. So just as you noticed, you know, there's that twitchy, nervous, worried, and you can say things that help to calm down. You can watch the thoughts that are aggravating the experience, and you can turn your attention away from those thoughts and to things that will help calm the system.
There's a moment, I mean, that's helpful. just particularly disidentify with it and also try and calm it down. There's a moment when I felt I was trying to talk, kind of like you would to a child. I was trying to talk my body out of a decision it was going to, a thing I was going to do. And I felt this snarl come back at me. Something snarled at me. And I am thinking, okay, all right, we're going to do that, fine. It's like a dog or something, where you say, we're going to go this way. Okay, all right, we're going to go that way. And I don't know how to, I mean, in the absence of being able to soothe it or something.
Now, these are places to look, okay? This is not, don't take my word for it. But were I in that situation, the response would have been, ego.
Hmm.
I see. Because the body isn't going to snarl. But ego will. And of course, ego likes to masquerade as everything.
Yes.
Right? So it's you when you're thinking, it's you when you're feeling, it's you in the form of the body, it's you. And with that disidentification, increasingly you see that and you have a growing sense of what is authentic. Okay? The body has learned all kinds of things and has all sorts of habits and reactions, but they're not volitional. It's not in there saying, I'm going to do this or that, or at least not in my experience. But ego is. And so you can be, you know, there you are, we're going to go this way. Oh. Okay. All right, ego. I see. Okay, I got my eye on you. Now we're going to go this way. And you'll see that you have the power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you don't know what that is, and it has the ability to frighten you. And it's got a lot of experience with scaring people.
Mm-hmm. So I felt like I really heard what you just said, because often I think, My self-hate masquerades as my rational mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yes.
You know, I hear it as reason.
Yes, yes,
and now
yes.
It may be coming in through it's wearing a different costume.
That's right. It'll wear any outfit that will work. It is truly shameless. It'll do anything, say anything to stay in charge. And so that's what we learn to do. So when, one of my favorites, it's not popular with anybody as far as I can tell, but I still think it's worth pursuing. And that is the, I don't want to, I don't feel like it's too hard, I can't. Ah, I see. Ego. Yeah. You're disidentified.
Yeah.
Of course you disidentified in order to say that, but we don't feel it until after we do the calling it out. So anytime, whining, complaining, hating, violent, screaming, yelling, ego. That just kind of collapses, because all it has is the. If you don't go for that, then it doesn't have anything else in its little arsenal. And so what it needs to do then is just, okay, all right. And find another door to come in.
Rob?
I have two questions. The first is about, I have a lot of pain when I sit, and I've asked you about this before, and I feel like it's gonna hurt until it doesn't hurt anymore. I have made progress. You originally said, play with it and everything. And like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, I finally got to this place where I didn't have pain in my back. I was like, whoa, this is great. But I flexed, like I flexed my hips a lot more. And that was fine for my morning sit. But now here I'm doing afternoon. I normally only do a morning sit. Am I, my butt and my legs hurt so much. I mean, the pain goes down my leg. So I'm like, oh, great.
Okay, yeah, but this is progress, right? Because yeah, it's a different it's pain. Progress. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, it's a new pain. So, yeah. And I don't know if anybody's has said anything to you, but there are things we can do with those that are actually a lot more manageable than, say, pain in the mid-back, which is, that's a tough one. But with the hips, the legs, that sort of thing, do you usually sit like that on a Cushman Burmese?
Yeah.
Okay. So for a while, you might just sit that way for the morning sit, mm-hmm. and then for an afternoon sit, turn your cushion up on edge and use it like a bench, or sit on a bench.
I started doing that, actually, yeah. and it did help.
Good, yeah, that's great. And then if you have a chance, of course we don't recommend moving around a lot in the hall, but at a certain point, you know, maybe you'll be in your hermitage, or maybe you'll try the second sit and just see what happens. And because it's just us kids, you know, if the pain starts up, then you do the, you know, move so carefully that nobody sitting next to you knows that you have moved, and put a different leg in front and see if that relieves it. Okay. And if you get to the point where you know, the second sit of the day, you can sit for 10 minutes before the pain starts, you know, well then do the old go 11 or 12 and then move. And pretty soon it'll just get longer and longer and longer until... And you do a different one in front every time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then
And the other thing about it, make sure the cushion is high enough. I mean, most of the cushions in here are pretty good. But make sure when you come in that you've got your eye on one that's nice and firm and as tall as you can get.
Okay. I guess I do have one question. It usually doesn't hurt nearly as much in the morning as it does later in the day. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for that?
Well, there could be lots of things going on with it. Do you experience discomfort or pain during the latter part of the day doing other things? Like, do you feel anything in your hips or your back when you're walking? Or?
I mean, I have some lower back pain. This is upper back pain. And normally, no, except today, yeah, I did. I had the upper back pain even when I was walking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's one of those, you don't know why it disappeared. Right?
Right?
When it disappeared, yeah. Which is my experience. I mean, I can be doing everything in the world, and then all of a sudden, nothing hurts. And then it hurts again. And so then, you know, you start through the, well, is it this, is it this, is it this, is it this, and I don't know, quite frankly. I don't know. But one of the things that you can do is make sure that you're using your body properly during the day. Okay, so abs, whenever you move, engage your abs first and move second. You know, that's just standard stuff. And that your upper body is relaxed, you know, that you're just checking in regularly and making sure your shoulders are dropped and you're not carrying tension. Check your jaw, you know, make sure you're not clenching anywhere there. Just constantly, just the same way we do in sitting meditation, just auditing, you know, how's everything doing? How's, you know, when you walk, do you put more weight on one foot than on the other? You know, just anything that you can notice. When you stand, do you put more weight on one foot and leg than the other? Just noticing what's going on. At one point, my favorite one of these, I had some pain. And so I went to a chiropractor friend of mine, and he said, "So, which side do you chew on?" And it was one of those seeing God moments. And I knew immediately, and he was right. You know, I had developed a habit of chewing on one side, And that was the side where the jaw had tightened up and the neck had tightened up and the shoulder had tightened up. He said, you're fine, just start chewing on the other side. And then after you do that for a while, switch back and forth. Yeah, just like our legs. So it takes a lot of paying attention to get a sense of all of the things that could be contributing. You may never figure it out. You may never know. But the good news is you'll be more aware every day, more present.
Yeah. I have no, my whole body has been sore in different ways since I've been here.
Yeah.
I'm doing different things, but...
Well, and you're sleeping in a different bed. Yeah. And our bed, we're not famous for our beds. That's not high up on our... Ooh, the beds are great! Not so much, but the beds. Oh, and those porta potties. Yeah. They are fabulous. There can be so many things there, right? And then, yeah, just different stuff that you do. Yeah. You know, one thing as simple as most Westerners sit on furniture. And we don't have any. Right? So that can be huge right there in terms of the body just trying to adjust. Now, everybody in the world could say we should throw out our Western furniture and always sit on the floor and that sort of thing. But the world out there is set up for furniture. Yeah. You'll get used to us.
Mm-hmm. So my second question is... I think I've been hit with stupid dust.
Why am I doing this? No, well, that's not it. Like,
yeah, I am. Like, I'm confused about what am I doing? Meditation, sitting is not a problem. It seems, but like moving around and like, I can't remember anymore. Am I supposed to always be counting my breaths? Pretty much.
It can't hurt you.
Yeah. Like, I've noticed that I can't, like, when I'm moving around, lots of times I can't find my breath. And it's like, I don't know if it's new or just a new awareness or, you know.
And Rob, you have absolute permission to stop wherever you are until you find your breath. Mm-hmm. So if you're going around and you realize, whoa, look for the breath, wasn't there, stop and find it. And then continue with what you're doing and hang on to it for as long as you can. And then you'll come to it and realize you've lost it again or you've wandered off or whatever. That's okay. Just come back. That's all of this is about.
And am I basically going to be counting 1 to 10 for the rest of my life?
Odds are good. Actually, no. It's funny. I mean, no. Do we have to? No, of course not. But I realize I count everything. When I drink water, I count. When I, you know, whatever it is that's going on, I'm counting. And so I don't know if that's particularly helpful, but I'm aware that I'm counting everything, which means that I haven't wandered too far afield.
And then one final question. I guess I have 3.
That's right. But who's counting?
So I went to I'm Renzi Zen? Is that right?
Renzai?
Uh-huh. Renzai, a monastery near my house where I live. And their instruction was very similar, of course, except that they said when counting, to count the entire exhalation, the count goes the entire time. Wow. Right? Yeah. And... You know, it's in my head, I can do whatever I want, but...
That's right.
What I really want to know, like, what's it... I don't understand the difference.
I don't either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. You say potato, I say potato. I suspect there isn't a great deal of difference.
Okay, so I can do what I want.
The only thing I would encourage you to do is stick with it. Don't do one for a while and then, oh, I think I'll try the other one for a while and then...
Well, I haven't done that, right?
I think I'll count on the inhalation. Now I think I'll count on the... Yeah. Then it just becomes a game.
Right. Okay.
So I've been practicing with something very fun, which is not to carry something into the next moment. And so I feel grumpy in this moment.
You feel grumpy?
Yes. I don't feel cheery. And I don't want to feel cheery. And I have every right and reason not to feel cheery. And then the next moment says, you have to be cheery.
You've been grumpy long enough.
Well, the next moment calls for being cheery.
Mm.
Right? Mm. And it's just been such an interesting experience to drop whatever it is that's in that moment and just be in the next moment. And watching that, the rapidity with which the moment can switch without residue has been such an interesting, it's just been interesting.
And
because
so,
I can do it.
And so do you find that that something calls upon you to do it, or does it just drop in to do it?
Well, it's almost like life is, the life in this moment is about this moment, where it's not about the previous moment. There's no, the conversation is what keeps me indulging the state of grumpiness.
That's
way
right, yeah.
Past the time that I need to be grumpy.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And so in this moment, the circumstances are completely different, and there's an invitation to be here.
Yeah.
Somehow, right? I receive a phone call, or someone is talking to me, someone's energy is up, and there's an invitation to participate in something different. And is there the ability to just let go all of that? I don't want to do this, or I'm feeling angry with this, or I don't want to deal with this, or whatever it is, to just drop it and be available in the next moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, a person, I have noticed, can be grumpy all day. Every activity one is called upon to do, grumpy.
Yes, it is. Well, and to me, the marvelous thing that I'm noticing is how, first of all, how it is possible to do, right? That there's that residual conversation of, you don't really feel happy, you're not really cheery, or there's that, oh, but the energy of cheeriness is not
so
presenting itself when I don't have enough energy, I'm in a grumpy state, right? But that there's just this sense of, wow, it is possible to transition states that rapidly.
Yes, well, because the same rapidity is being applied to grumpy.
Yes, except it's not discreetly noticed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But so I'm doing this, and I'm grumpy. And then something else comes along. If I actually went with the something else, I would forget to be grumpy.
Yes.
But
well,
just that fast, I can apply grumpy in this moment.
Yes, well, it's so fun, because what I've noticed is the quality of the invitation, if it's compelling enough, then there's a whole heart switch almost instantaneously,
yes.
right? So if I'm allowed to sit on the cushion 1 minute after I'm indulging a grumpy story, there's no grumpiness anywhere in sight. But if there's a little, and so I've been practicing with responding to the energy of the moment in situations that are not as high stakes as sitting on the cushion,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like, why would I want to be in a state of grumpiness, especially when the invitation is to be something upbeat,
mm-hmm.
participatory,
mm-hmm.
wholehearted, enthusiastic?
Well, I know the answer, and I bet you do too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because ego gets a lot of mileage out of grumpy and zip out of upbeat.
Yes. Yes, I remember that. I think someone in group mentioned the story, which has been the cornerstone of the practice. Ever since that story, it's been it has inspired me to practice this way, which is just be the moment that it is, not the moment as it should be. Right, the story about the sand painting. You know, the monks doing the painting, and then it's a beautiful painting, and they're all looking at it in admiration, and then the soldiers run over it, the painting disappears, and now they're all laughing at the unfinished painting.
The new painting.
The new painting. I mean, it's just such a radical thing. And the thing I've been enjoying is just the ability to transition like that. That old story, that old identity, that sense of I don't want to go into the next moment is so possible to cut off and go. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, now I'm cheery. Mm-hmm. But if you're cheery, only if I reference something that says I don't feel cheery, that I don't feel cheery.
Yes.
It's over.
Yeah, yeah. And it's such an interesting, for me, place to watch attention. Because whatever we turn our attention to, if we go with grumpy, anything that you turn your attention to is not grumpy.
True. Except this thing.
Except this thing.
Yeah.
So if you're actually with whatever you're turning your attention to, it's not possible to be grumpy.
Right.
In fact, it's quite the opposite. Now, it could be the same level of projection, but these things seem kind of upbeat.
Yeah. Or just simply what they are.
Just what they are. Which is, I suspect in and of itself, upbeat.
Yes.
In the sense of alive.
Yes, yes. Well, and the it's a psychedelic experience for me. Because it feels almost like, you know, with these the projection tapes, right? And you cut it and you slash it and you're just running bits of disconnected tape. So you can see the tape running about this person who's having a really hard time, and suddenly it cuts, and then the next projection image is this dancing person who's having a happy time. And that's the internal experience, that it's such a discontinuous process to not finish the story of grumpiness and suddenly be in the story, not story, but the experience of cheeriness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, If my awareness is not expanded, I have the experience of being completely fractal. But if my awareness is expanded, it just feels like that a multiple state switching experience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just been fun to watch.
Uh-huh. And one other thing, and then I'll let you go. That's that you're going along in whatever, maintaining whatever, and there's an awareness that a switch is there. And you can watch, it's that one that we talk about, of the awareness that you don't have to do that.
Yes.
Okay. And so there's that moment of awareness that it's time to be here. There's that impulse on the part of ego to pull you into the story. There's the awareness you don't have to go with that. And then the choice to go with life.
Yes.
And of course, it all happens so quickly that you really do have to be there to watch it happen. But you can see how all of those things transpire.
Yes, and simultaneously, or in sequence, or in
rapid fire.
Yeah, rapid fire. And I think, as I said, if the awareness is not expanded, then it just feels disjointed.
Yes.
But if the awareness is expanded, what it feels like is a continuous...
Well, it feels like life.
Yes, yes.
Right? It feels like being present to life, because when we're present to this, then there is that that disconnected, watching it go by with this layer over it.
Yeah.
This layer of whatever it is that ego is projecting onto what's going on, the story inside the head that's being projected onto life as it's unfolding in every moment.
Yeah. Well, and it's oxymoronic in some sense, because it's only ego that has an illusion of continuity. What I'm experiencing is that it's not continuous, it is discrete.
Yes.
And if I'm recalibrating attention to discrete, then it's actually a very, very different experience.
Yes.
The disjoint comes because I'm so used to it being a false continuous.
Yes. Yeah. It's disjointed for ego.
Yeah.
And it's very disruptive to its story.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've also really been enjoying the email class and having...
In class 7. Have you folks gotten to class 7?
We've done it.
You've done it, but you haven't read it?
Well, you know, I've been reading the responses in sequence, so I think I'm on class 3.
Oh.
So, but you know, it just happens.
I'm very excited about 7. Did you have a good experience with 7?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is it's kind of been miraculous.
Yes. I really want to know who these people are. I want to gather them together in one place because I think we could do something really significant, like take over the world.
Well, I'm for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very timely, isn't it? Wow, I really, just mm-hmm. with everything that's going on. But the experience that I've had with it, as I say, I haven't seen any responses, but is...
Sherry, could you say what it is? I don't know if everyone has seen Class 7. Because some people are not in email class.
I can't, but I bet you can.
Yes, Class 7 was, it's about authentic expression and how if we're listening to a conversation, the previous exercise was about listening, that we can't listen to someone if we have a veil of the conditioned layer active. But if that's active, then we can't even listen to ourselves. That there is nothing that authentic that's allowed to express without it being mutated by that ego layer. And so all those things that we're never allowed to say because we're listening to a voice of self-hate that dismisses everything that we believe needs to be said, as was shared.
Yeah, we're certainly not going to say it to somebody else.
Yes.
And we're not even allowed to express it inside here because we've got a lot of information that's not okay either.
And so the assignment was first to watch what it is, what are all the reasons that are given to you that you cannot express yourself. Mm-hmm. Then to be able to say whatever it is that you're not allowed to say, all the unmentionables to your recorder, to listen to it. And then when the energy of that ego barrier has dissipated, to see if there's anything authentic that's actually arising that needs to be said. And what might
that
be?
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the two-handed mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Recording exercise, but a little mm-hmm. little shading on it.
That was helpful, actually. So what I've seen is two things. I really get why egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate keeps us where it keeps us, which is in the... at least for me, my version of it is resentment, frustration, anger, rage, shame, whatever. Because every time when I've applied, which has been quite a number of times just in the one assignment, where I've applied it to something, there's always a deep level of care underneath it. And I saw it...
So a deep level of care underneath, so say... What you're being told is you're feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
And
it's not
then,
fair, why this, why that?
And then when you look underneath it, what that all of that is covering up mm-hmm. is caring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, it, like, for example, there was an email that I was working on today. And so I'd gotten some feedback on guidance of how to go about the email. And it would be such a place that there could just be all kinds of reactions to it. Like, okay, you know. But then just like kind of filing the reactions and then just doing the, following the thing and just doing it. Fine, you know? And so it occurred to me to apply the email.
Who cares? Yeah, which could be a big clue, right?
Yeah.
Who cares? Oh, maybe I do?
Yes, yeah. And so it occurred to me to apply the email class to it. And, I mean, within an incredibly short period of time, there was actually quite a bit of emotion with it. Because, and what I saw in it was that there was actually no opinion, which is what I'm told is going on. Like, oh, you just want your way, and na-na-na-na-na. But that was not what was going on. There was just this deep level of care about everyone involved, really. Mm-hmm. Everyone involved. And that... I don't know if it was a conditioned reaction or not conditioned reaction, but I could completely see the direction the response needed to go. And there was almost a level of, kind of like people have been talking about in the 9 o'clock radio show, of just, there is some sadness that goes with it. There is some, even though on some level, you know everything is profoundly okay, exactly the way it needs to be, and for whatever reason, there's just some feeling of, with it. And that what I saw was, all of that, all of where ego keeps us from having that experience, and that's an experience of nothing wrong. It's such a profound experience of nothing wrong. And wow, it just, it transforms everything.
Mm-hmm. And I think about, you know, not that, we're not going to get into parent bashing here, but little kids are conditioned away from sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're supposed to be sensitive, but not really.
Right.
And that's so...
So true.
Yeah, so you got to go for some sort of emotional reaction that is acceptable.
Right.
I have anything to do with anything, but they do it, or you see other people doing it, and that seems to get less displeasure than, and of course a lot of information that being sensitive is not the way to go.
Right. We really get it from both ends, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, it's that like, God, can't you see that you're not the only one? Don't you ever think of other people? Don't be so sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's like, would you children just calm down? Just calm down.
Yeah.
Enough of that laughing.
Yeah.
Stop laughing.
Yeah.
You don't want us to cry. You don't want us to laugh. Come on. So your point being the layers and layers and layers, and of course that frustrated, resentful, angry, it works very well for ego.
Yeah.
And so all of this other stuff that would be closer to real, that would happen in the present.
Right.
You're not in danger of going there. And so ego's quite happy with all that, especially because it's proof that there's something wrong with you.
Exactly. So,
yeah. So there you are, being to feel that way.
Yep.
And then as soon as you feel that way, what is the matter with you?
Exactly.
It is. It's much like childhood, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, as you were describing that, boy, I can see where that level of frustration comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because from such an early age,
mm-hmm.
we're taught to not look to our own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at least where I went, as you were describing that, I could go right to trying to get it right. What are you asking me? What am I trying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, completely left here, anything that's going on here, looking out here, and then whatever the karmic orientation is, which in my case
you're
was
never
just
gonna
total
get
rage.
It right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frustration and rage and, you know. But of course, that doesn't change one bit what's actually going on, which is that deep level of care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you agree, but I suspect that a synonym for that is connection.
Definitely.
That's what we're really feeling in those situations is sensitivity to others through that connection. Is it projection? Yes, I'm sure it is.
Right.
And we're not that different.
It's so interesting that you say that, actually, because in this, the one instance that I was describing, at first there was such a sense of having to be disconnected from the person who was going to receive this email, like projecting like, oh, this is such a disconnection. And as I went through that process, and truly it was like a minute and a half, I mean, it was not a long drawn out thing, I've got to such a place of connection with it. And that such a place of, I don't know what the best response is or anything like that, but just from that place, felt so connected to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is all we have anyway.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Again, the email class is so interesting because I project what so many people are getting is, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Yeah. So everybody's happy. Well, no, they're not, actually. Or I'm doing the right thing over here, and people are unhappy, but they understand that that's what the, you know, all those beliefs and assumptions, and then, oh my God, I'm living in this world all by myself. You know, nobody's having my experience.
Yeah. Well, and that is the most profound piece of it, I feel like, is that through this class, and this has been happening for quite some time, just getting to that deep level of seeing the seeing what I'm up against for myself internally, and the great level of compassion that brings for just everyone, for all of us.
Yeah, because I often think about, so here we all are, you know, just, you know, just dissecting
exactly.
All this.
Down,
you know,
to the tiniest,
yeah,
little,
yeah.
Like, and then this email came in.
Right.
And we can stop if we lose the breath anywhere, anytime.
Right.
Right? That's what we're doing here.
That's right. And then there's so much of the world that has absolutely no ability to, or interest in, or, It was like, well, I'm glad we find it entertaining. All we've got going there. And yet, again, through the class, you know, these people, I mean, probably you people can too, but I feel like I have a pretty good sense of who's brand new to this and who's been around for a while. And a lot of the people who are, I think they're brand new, are having that experience of,
yeah,
oh my gosh, I just asked a simple little question and my whole world just got turned upside down because I have no idea that that's what my mother thinks.
Yeah, which is such a great gift of folks who come with that fresh perspective. Mm-hmm. Is to be able, because sometimes those of us who have been around forever, we write in, you know, no, you know. And but that fresh perspective, like, oh my gosh. And then at least for me, when I read those responses, it's brand new for me.
Yeah.
I so appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
The email class, I'm like Jen, I'm behind on, I'm not.
Well, you people aren't required to do it for 6 or 7 hours out of the day, so I expect that you'd be behind.
Yeah, in reading the yeah, so you're talking about 7 and I'm 3 or 4 myself. But to me it's amazing that we can communicate at all. Because the thing of it is that we have the English language as a common thing to communicate with. But and so we say something, and it goes to the other person, and it goes through their filters, and God only knows what they hear. And
that's one that fascinates me. The number of people who are clearly, because I am really clear in my speech, and I expect other people to be clear in theirs.
Right.
And you just think, yeah. Because, of course, it's clear to them.
Yeah.
And they have no idea that the person listening to them doesn't have any idea at all what they're talking about. Because exactly as you say, they pick out their words to be very clear. I pick out my words to be very clear to me. Then I say them to you, but they're not your clear words. Right? So you're going,
I have my clarity, but I have a completely different experience base with what they've said.
Yes.
And so it throws me into a whole another place.
Yes.
That they're not intending, and I may have some kind of reaction that they're like, whoa.
What's wrong with you?
I just said X, and you're all in a flap about it. What's the deal? It just, you know, may touch some experience or something.
Oh, and it can, and those are the words But then there's everything else that goes with communication.
Right, right.
The body language and the facial expressions, right, and the intonation. I mean, we could use the same words, but say it with an inflection that, yes, just the other person goes crazy.
Yes, yes. So that's, yeah, that's one too, that they say something and it's like nice words, but behind it you just feel the energy that there's something going on other than just those words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then Rebecca. Just before I talk about what I was going to talk about before, just a couple of moments ago, what did you say about intonation? Just remembered an experiment I once read about where it was something like they got speakers of English to say English words with Russian intonation, and they got speakers of Russian to say, I can't remember, but so just swap intonation patterns and then write down what they projected onto that speaker. And so the speakers of the people hearing Russian with English intonation thought that the person was being condescending, and the people listening to English with Russian intonation thought the person was being aggressive.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was like, wow, like a whole conditioned reality of cultural reactions against one another based on...
Where is that button? We got to get rid of these people.
Because their intonation is being picked up as when it's
scary.
It's just the rhythm of that language, which has a meaning in this conditioned system.
Mm-hmm.
And when it crosses into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's most of you have heard me tell the story, that the friend who married an Italian fellow and went to Italy on their honeymoon, and why are you and your mother fighting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah.
And then finally, we're not fighting, we're Italian.
I once lived with two Polish women, and I'd be, you know, off in one room and they'd be in the kitchen, and I thought they were having a massive fight. They were best friends and they were just animated, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to express a deep gusto for the morning radio shows. Seeing with through the eyes of love, just it's one of those, like, you know, when you think you can't love this practice anymore, and you hear something like that, it's just been
good. And we're hearing some really fun things about it from different places and different people who were saying, can anybody join this? I have this group of people who...
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
I know, I've been thinking that too, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. I just kind of want to let people know it's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a place to tune into.
Yeah.
Yeah, love. And there's something going on where, well, let's see. Well, first of all, because when the radio show started, I was asking that, like, how can I help? How can I help? You know, just waiting for something to drop in. And felt like what got shown, first of all, was, like, see that, like, layer of self-hate that's kind of going around with you? Drop it.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a way to help.
Don't let a bit of energy go to that. It was like this, I don't know, hand on back to just stand taller and feel that
the stakes are really too high to be self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just even with that little bit of a...
Yeah. Self-hate really is it's a privilege of the privileged.
Yeah.
It's when we don't have real problems. We can let our egos pick us to death.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'd love to get some assistance too with something that's going on. My problem, not really.
Sorry, Sherry, can't hear
you. She's going to go into her problems.
I was kidding, yeah. But not really kidding. Now I'm going to talk about my problems.
I'll reflect.
I'm having this experience in the body that is familiar.
So having an experience in your body that's familiar. That's not now you can hear?
Now we can.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, you're doing good. They're hearing. Go like this. Okay.
That's very familiar. And it's an experience of adrenaline. Like it feels like a constant flow of it. And what I'm seeing is, so a few lots of things. One thing is that often the experiences when attention moves away from the conversation to the hara, there's a softening, a relaxation, a feeling better.
So the attention is in conditioned mind, and that's where that feeling of adrenaline comes from?
Oh, I was just saying that usually when this state isn't here, when you realize attention's on conversation conditioned mind and drop it to the hara, there's a softening and a slowing and a relaxation and that's not, doesn't feel available in this state because there's that constant adrenaline.
Oh, wow. That was really... Right, it's right there, right?
It's
the adrenaline
right here.
Is, yeah, so the hara is really a long ways away.
It really is.
Can't get there.
So it feels like, this feeling is like, it's like a plate or a shield. Mm-hmm. I feel like sliced in half.
Yeah, like right around the third chakra.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Right here.
That good old will center.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like some of the ways that have been coming up to describe it is like, I feel like cut off from...
Center.
I feel cut off from center. I feel cut off from the intelligence that animates. I'm not having those experiences of your umbrella or, you know, when you feel just so accompanied and loved because you're present to that dropping in. I feel that feels not available. And whatever that is, I don't know, whatever the life. But that I feel cut off from. I feel.
And the adrenaline, is that what this is? How does the adrenaline work with this?
Well, it feels like a constant stream of something being pumped out into the body. And one way that shows up is like this feeling of, what would you call it? Like an intense knot, but also vibrating really fast.
And so when that's going on, that's when you feel cut off from the intelligence that's animating.
Yeah.
So that this is going on, and that feeling of being guided and directed and present is not there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've been watching the sensations of it. It feels like that also, like there's then the flowing up to the throat. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it really feels, so I'll just say one thing and then maybe you say anything you say about it, but it's like truly part of the opportunity seems to be unconditional directing the attention because I'm not feeling better when I do it.
Hmm. Say that again? Rebecca got it, but
I know. I
got it. Could you reflect?
There's no pressure when you're in the audience.
Right.
So it's like, when people watch game shows and they're at home and they say, well, how could I do that? Could do that.
Uh-huh. I never did, just for the record.
No.
I never had that experience. No. Oh, I could be doing that. No, I never thought that.
let's see. I wish I hadn't said that. I'm feeling bad today.
This is gone.
I should have just started my own cheers.
She's going to get there on her own.
I was really glad to hear the talk about the seventh class or the email class, because I realized in that conversation what has been going on with me all night in this group is exactly what's been going on with me with that email class. Because that I have just kind of with ease done 1 through 6, and then I hit 7. And it was like, I have not been, quote, allowed to really do that. I've made several attempts, and I have not been successful at doing that class. And it's just the darndest thing. I literally, last night, I fell asleep. I did said the unmentionables. I fell asleep before the recorder could make it to my left hand. It's like, you know, it was, and that's just one of the attempts. So it's just been real puzzling or frustrating. So the process that seems to be happening is that, and it's something that I've said in here before, it's like I have a foot on the gas and a foot on the brake. Mm-hmm. I can't really say these unmentionables. I can't. You know, that's the, and then, but I want to, and I can't, you know. And I'm going to, and I can't, you know, and it gets all geared up to do it, and no. But then, you know, back and forth. That, and that's been happening in this group, you know. Wanting to talk, no, I can't do that. And it happens with emails, and I start an email, delete, start an email, trash it, start, you know. And it is just the most god-awfully frustrating thing, you know, the frustration, the rage that was talked about. It's like, that's what's been going on. I think I even talked about it one week in group about, you know, I know there's some emotion here, and I'm ready to, and it's just, well, can't go there. You know, so I just basically wanted to say something. You know, I don't know.
Can you write it down?
The unmentionables? Yeah, but I couldn't read it back. It gets like...
Yeah, well, whoa. How do you know that?
Because I just heard what it tells me when I can't record. We can't listen back and get to the recorder the other hand.
Mm. Are you going to accept that?
No, I'm going to go that way.
Because that's blatant. Mm-hmm. That's where you go, oh, that's ego, yeah. Hello.
I know, I was relating to that too. Yeah.
Because it just did it right there, yeah. Right in front of me, yeah. In front of all of them. Yeah. It's
and
pretty.
And I can tell by your reaction how it did it. But you know, it's like someone was just saying, it's a lot in logic. It sounds, it doesn't come across, that's what, you know, was just said. It sounds so, and it adopts the language of practice. That's how it's getting me when I'm writing emails.
Well, and it's what Penny started us off with, because you don't hear it. I mean, what just happened, in case you missed it, because Anna's got it, in case you
missed
it. So I said, can you write it down? And you said yes. but I couldn't read it back.
Yeah.
It's like, we've never had this conversation. And yet that was a report from long experience. But yeah, well, yeah, but you couldn't read it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get the magnitude of the creepiness of this? That it is so gutsy that it can sit right here in this room and tell you what you're not going to be able to do. Not, I've never been able to do that in the past. It's predicting the future. Sure, go ahead, write it down. You're not going to be able to read it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, this is where we slide into, you know, strong language, like horse pucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just that's just nonsense. There's just no sense in putting up with that. I can't say, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. Hello, I can. I'm the boss of me.
Yeah.
Tonight, when you go home. End of that little game.
Okay.
Now write it down. Read it back. Record it and listen to it and then go. Yes!
Okay.
I win and you lose. Stuff like that. Mature. Practice. Do a little victory lap around your hermitage. I win and you lose. I win. You know, yeah, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's got you, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to say anything about that?
I would just would much rather be where you just were than where I am right now.
Where am I?
Victory, tough, and thumbing your nose at it, and not being here. I can't seem to will my way or get there.
You're predicting, you're letting it predict the future again.
It doesn't feel like I'm there.
Which doesn't mean you can't be. How do you know where I am? That's a serious question. How do you know that?
When you talked about how blatant it is, I remember one time, I was remembering one time a year ago or so when I was going to be on time for every sit, 5 minutes early. And I heard you go say, no, that's not going to happen. And I just was, oh yeah, we'll see. And I was, and I just, you know, and I was there.
You rest my case. There it is. That's where you go. I mean, we just can't allow it. We just can't. We just can't. You see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know the way around it. You just described it. So there's no sense in letting it go on believing that it's going to have the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because, no, it's not.
Thank you. What I'm seeing is a connection between expressing from the heart, like something like saying a deep gratitude and deep appreciation for the morning radio shows, and this feeling.
So you're seeing it. I know they can't hear. You're seeing a connection between expressing gratitude for the morning radio show and this.
Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of the week, it arose to express something, communicate something, an appreciation, a thank you, or something like that. And I noticed, similar to what we started off talking about this evening, the who do you think you are?
So there's that impulse to express that appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, similar to what was talked about earlier, you start getting the, it's probably from here actually, you start getting the...
who asked you for your opinion? It looked like you're being inauthentic. I think there's some awareness of a connection between what happens with that getting closed over and feeling more and more disconnected from...
So the more you listen to that, so there's that impulse which seems to activate that reaction of phony, faker, and then the more that gets activated, that's where this starts being put in place, and you find yourself more and more disconnected from center, which is probably where that impulse arose from.
Yes. And because I'm aware that as this is getting stronger and I'm feeling more and more disconnected, there's like a tension still on that thing that I wanted to say but haven't or didn't. And now I feel even more like I can't because I feel so cut off from...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it would probably behoove you to just yell it out. Right? When that starts. Just not to, because you know it's kind of the heart of Zen actually, right? So something arises for us. There, it arose.
Yes.
Now's the time to express it.
Yes.
Because if you don't, that's what opens this up to. Well, yeah, but and who you think and who cares and nobody. Because Penny didn't get sand. And you didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that gap,
it
can go to work on us.
Yes. Yeah. And what I just saw as you did the movement of it arose was it's not mine. I didn't make it arise. It arose.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was an impulse that didn't come from conditioned mind, but conditioned mind is going to have a lot of opinions about it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't arise in conditioned mind.
Yeah.
It's what sets it off. The authentic impulse, the just responding to life unfolding in the moment, is what sets ego off.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.